And now as we come to the Bible again, we ask that you would lead and guide, and it must be you that leads and guides us. Give us understanding. Give us a sense and cause us to hear the words. And again, if we understand or see anything, we must give you all the credit. Could each one of us now be overcome with the importance of this book, that this book, as we've just heard from the Epistle of Timothy, is given, the entire book is given by inspiration of you, and literally that's God breathed. So could each one of us be just overcome with this, and know that as we read from the Bible and seek understanding, it is you speaking to us. Again, may all the glory go to you, and we ask that if anything we say here is an error, we know that in your mercy it can't harm your people. But again, please be with us and bless this study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Ezekiel 24. Amazed at how fast the time goes. I did this study here 5 years ago. And I'm convinced it's still faithful, that everything still remains the same. So we'll look at this. Ezekiel 24. Let me read from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Ezekiel 24:15. Also the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, Wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so? Then I answered them, The word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters, whom ye have left, shall fall by the sword. And ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men, and your tire shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. Ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities, and mourn one toward another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done shall ye do. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord Jehovah. Also, thou son of man, shall it not be, in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In that day shall thy mouth be opened to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. If you turn back to chapter 1, of Ezekiel. You'll read right in the beginning, right in the opening verse. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. This is before the destruction of the temple in 587 B.C. Ezekiel is already in captivity. He was taken with King Jehoiachin. King Jehoiachin reigned from 608 to 597 B.C., and the king of Babylon came up and took him. So Ezekiel says in verse 2, this is the fifth day of the month, which is the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. So if he was taken captivity in 597 B.C., this would be about 592 or 593 B.C. I'm not exactly sure of the year. But we read, if you go to chapter 3 now, in verse 22, chapter 3 and verse 22, we read, "And the hand of Jehovah was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of Jehovah stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, Go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon me and shall upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house." The Lord God struck Ezekiel dumb. He wasn't able to speak. And again, he's a sign in all this. In verse 27, we read, "But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, He that heareth, let him hear." In other words, Ezekiel was dumb. But in this time that he was dumb, when the Lord had a message, when the Lord had something for him to say to the Israelites, then he could speak. So let's go back now to chapter 24. We read in verse 15 of chapter 24, "Also the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke, yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men." He's telling him, he's going to do this to him, and he's telling him, when it happens, don't mourn. You just continue to live life as usual. He says, "Forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee." I believe in one of the signs of mourning back then was to go bareheaded. Put thy shoes upon thy feet. Cover not thy lips. Eat not the bread of men. In other words, just go on with life as usual. And in verse 18 we read, "So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded." God took his wife. God put some of these prophets through some terrible things. We read about Jeremiah, for instance, how he was persecuted and beaten. We read about Zechariah that was killed between the temple and the altar, or I believe between the porch. I'm sorry, I don't know where that is, but God put his prophets through some awful things, and now he's taking Ezekiel's wife. She dies, and he's making Ezekiel a sign to the people. He says in verse 16, "Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes." Now look in, and he's going to take his wife. Look in verse 21. He says, "Speak unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes." In other words, Ezekiel is a picture, as a prophet, he's a picture of Christ, and he's also a picture of the true believers. We're finding this out about Jonah now. But here he's taking his wife. She's going to die, and he's likening that to profaning the temple, the destruction of the temple. In other words, the wife supposedly of Christ should be that body of believers. The nation of Israel, again, corporately in a sense, was the wife of God, and but now he's putting them away. He's destroying them. Let me read verse 21 again so you'll see how he makes the similitude, the comparison. Speak unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes. In other words, that sanctuary would be the desire of those Israelites that loved the Lord God. And he's telling Ezekiel he's taken away his wife, the desire of his eyes, and that which your soul pitieth. And your sons and your daughters, whom ye have left, shall fall by the sword. Now, that the words have left there actually means forsaken. He's speaking about their sons and their daughters that are still in Jerusalem. These people he's speaking to are in captivity. And again, he's assigned to them and what God is doing to them. But that temple at this point still exists, although with the death of Josiah in 609 B.C., he was the last good king of Israel. And that was the beginning of the tribulation period. So from 609 to 587 B.C., it's a period of 23 years inclusive. And then from 587 B.C. to when that temple was destroyed is a picture of the second part of the tribulation period. And it prefigures the tribulation period that we're now coming to the end of. In 1988, that tribulation period began. There was a period of 2,300 days until September of 1994 when the Holy Spirit was poured out again. And then from that time until the end is the second part of the tribulation. But this is what we're seeing here. That word desire, again, it speaks of the people of God and the temple, which should be the desire of the true believers. And he says, he's taking it back in verse 16. He says, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Now, that word stroke in other places is translated plague or slaughter. In other words, it's slaughter as in Ezekiel 9 when another horrible passage where we read about the men with the slaughter weapons in their hand going through Jerusalem and killing, again, a picture of God separating himself, killing the unbelievers in that corporate body. But he tells them in verse 17, forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. In other words, don't mourn, have no pity. And why is that? It has to do with the God's long suffering, how he has put up with this and put up with this again. And again, it's looking at the corporate church of our day. He's gone on and he's gone on and he's gone on, and he's let these people go on with their false teachings and their apostasy, and yet he hasn't brought judgment on them. But now there's going to be no mercy. He's telling Ezekiel, forbear to cry, don't mourn. Keep that tire on your head. Those round things they wore on their heads, and cover not thy lips and eat not the bread of men. Turn back to chapter 7, and we'll see this in other places. Finally, there's going to be no pity from God for these people because he's been so long suffering with them. In chapter 7. Let me read right from verse 1 in chapter 7 of Ezekiel. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord Jehovah unto the land of Israel, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come, the end is come. It watcheth for thee, behold, it is come. In verse 9, he says, and mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah that smiteth. Now, back then he did that in 587 B.C. when the Babylonians came in and destroyed that temple, and there's no hope left for the Israelites. We're going to see that again on May 21st of 2011 when salvation ends. And it's particularly the people in the church living today who are going to see that in the worst way and understand that they're really under the wrath of God, that they're not saved. Let me go to verse 14 of chapter 7 here, Ezekiel 7. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with a sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. The verse 16 says, but they that escape of them shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning every one for his iniquity. And we just read that in Ezekiel 24, in verse 23. And your tire shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. Ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. These are those that have escaped the wrath of God. These are those that, and we're going to read of those that escaped out of the city when the destruction came. And they're a picture of those that escaped. They're true believers, and yet they're pining away for their own iniquities and mourning one toward another. And I believe the sense of that is like in Ezekiel 36, 31. You're all familiar with Ezekiel 36. God explains how salvation works. But in verse 31 of Ezekiel 36:31, he says, then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. And this is characteristic of any true believer when he's brought to truth, seen his own rebellion, seen his sinful nature. He mourns and he actually loathes himself in his own sight for the sin that he has committed. So back here, let's go back to chapter 8 of Ezekiel. In verse 17, he says, Ezekiel 8:17, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? He has just shown Ezekiel in a vision particular things that these priests are doing that are just horrible and in rebellion. Let me start in the middle of verse 17 there. Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. When you read about violence in the Bible, as it pertains to the Israelites, it's the violence they've done to the Scriptures. We see that in chapter 3 of Zephaniah. Yeah, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4, speaking of the prophets and priests of Israel. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Back here in Ezekiel 8, verse 17. Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land, and we just spoke about the land in Psalm 85. They have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. He repeats that over and over, that he's not going to pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. And we know the apostasy of Israel back then, as God brought judgment on them, prefigures the apostasy of the New Testament church. They were doing the same things, as it were, perverting the Word of God, bringing in their own salvation plan, which consisted of man's work, really, twisting the Scriptures. Today they're ordaining homosexuals when God makes it perfectly clear that homosexuality is a sin, and how he's put the gospel in the birth of a baby, and here now we're ordaining homosexuals. It's Same thing back then. They were doing these abominations. God's going to bring judgment on them and show no pity. In chapter 9, we were just speaking about this. This is the account of the six men coming through Jerusalem with slaughter weapons. One man among them clothed with linen with a writer's inkhorn. And that certainly would represent the Lord Jesus. But again, it's speaking of the judgment on the people of God. One more passage where we see this. Turn to Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16. Let me start in verse 1 of Jeremiah 16. The word of Jehovah came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. He's speaking to Jeremiah, telling him not to take a wife from Jerusalem. Verse 3, For thus saith Jehovah concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith Jehovah, enter not into the house of mourning. Again, he's commanding him the same thing he commanded Ezekiel, not to mourn. Enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith Jehovah, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Remember, they were to keep that tire upon their head. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness. That's the voice of, and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The gospel, the true gospel, the voice of the bridegroom of Christ and the voice of the bride. Judgment on the church and repeating again in our day. So go back here now to Ezekiel 24. He says in verse 24, Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. And again, God made some of these prophets walking parables, walking signs. He did this with Hosea. He commanded Hosea to marry a harlot. And he was actually making Hosea a picture of himself as he was corporately married to the Israelites. Verse 24, Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign, according to all that he hath done, shall ye do, and when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord Jehovah. Also, thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In other words, there are going to be a few that escape that destruction in Jerusalem there in 587 B.C. And he says in verse 27, In that day shall thy mouth be opened to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. Turn to chapter 33. In verse 21, we read, Ezekiel 33:21, And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity. This would be now, I think, in 586 B.C., because here Ezekiel's going to get the news that temple was destroyed. It was destroyed in 587 B.C., but we can prove from the Bible that he didn't get the word till a year later, but we're not going to look at that now. But in verse 21 again, it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, The city is smitten. In other words, Jerusalem is destroyed. Now the hand of Jehovah was upon me in the evening. Afore he that was escaped came and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning. And my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. At this point, when Ezekiel finds out that that temple has been destroyed, he's no more dumb. God opens his mouth again. Can anybody relate that spiritually to today? I believe it certainly relates spiritually to the latter rain. And for that period, that 2,300 days, that first part of that tribulation from 1988 to 1994, we found out that hardly anyone or maybe no one at all was saved. The gospel was going out back then. There were family radio track trips, but very few, if any, were saved. And it also kind of parallels the ministry of Christ. God, the perfect teacher, was on earth for 3.5 years, and yet very few were saved. And yet, when he went back to heaven and when that Holy Spirit was poured out, then it went out into the world, and we read that 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, later on 5,000. Well, I believe this parallels this time, because Ezekiel's mouth was then opened after the destruction of that temple in 587 B.C. There's still 40-some years of tribulation left, but here Ezekiel, as a figure of the Lord Jesus and as a figure of the true believers, is no more dumb. I believe when God struck him dumb, it's as if he couldn't speak, and that the years of that corporate church were deaf, as it were, to the gospel. Remember what he said here. Again, look back there in chapter 3 when he struck him dumb. In chapter 3, verse 26, he says to Ezekiel, "And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house." To reprove is to correct. But yet they're not going to hear, and he's dumb. He's not going to be bringing the word to correct them, that word of God. Look at Psalm 38. This is a messianic psalm. Psalm 38, let me start in verse, this is clearly messianic here, in verse 5, Psalm 38, and this is a psalm of David too, as most of the messianic psalms are. Psalm 38, verse 5, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." Let's go to verse 11. "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off." Christ had to suffer alone. Verse 12. "They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth." See that? I, as a deaf man, heard not. I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs, no corrections. And that's what he told Ezekiel. Thou shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. I'm convicted that that's what we're to see in Ezekiel. His time of tribulation, when God is judging his church, and there's a famine, as it were, of hearing the word. They're not hearing. Even though it could go out faithfully, there's no hearing. There's no correction from the word of God. Okay, let's go back here to chapter 24. Again, verse 24, I just want to emphasize that. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. And we've learned, again, that these prophets, God made them signs, made them walking parables, some of them, as it were. And again, we read that even Christ, when he came in 33 A.D., what he did was a sign unto them. There should be no sign given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall Christ be in the heart of the earth. A sign, not actually what happened, the sign of what happened before. In Ezekiel chapter 3, in Ezekiel chapter 3, in verse 17, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, God says to Ezekiel, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand, and so forth. And he goes on to tell Ezekiel that he's a watchman. And again, this applies to all believers. But then if you turn to chapter 33, he says the same thing to him again about being a watchman. In chapter 33, well, chapter 33 starts out, Ezekiel 33 starts out with this principle of how Ezekiel is a watchman, and that applies to all believers, that we're the watchman, and we see that sword coming as God opens our eyes in the Scriptures. That sword that's coming is the judgment of God. Ezekiel 33, verse 1 says, Again, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. And he goes on to say how if we don't sound that trumpet, then the blood's on our head. It's a long passage, but I believe most of you are familiar with it. Just laying down the principle again, that believers are to be watchmen. But in verse 26, in verse 21, we just looked at how Ezekiel was given the news that Jerusalem, the city, is now smitten. God has destroyed that corporate church. In verse 22, we read that his mouth was opened, he was no more dumb, and I'm convicted that this applies now to the latter rain, that latter rain period when the Holy Spirit again was poured out. And then he says, let me see, if we read in verse 25, Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land. He's continuing again now to admonish Israel. Ye stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. And this is the message that we, if we believe we're a child of God, and if we understand what the Lord is telling us in the Bible, as watchmen should... we're at the end. We have 1 year left in this 23-year tribulation period. We continue to bring this message. And it does admonish those that are still in the church of their error, their apostasy, their worship of idols, their false teaching, that they've done violence to the law. And yet we're continuing also to bring this message of imminent judgment to the world as watchmen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father.